The following interview was conducted with Ken Conradi on behalf of the Madison County Oral History Project that is part of Madison Historical, the online digital archive for Madison County, Illinois. The interview took place on Thursday, October 11th, 2018, at the home of Mr. Conradi in Godfrey, Illinois. The interviewer is Abby Schaefer, a history student and research assistant at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. All right, so if you want to just start off talking about where you're born, when, where you grew up.
I'm originally a resident of the state of Oklahoma. I got my bachelor's degree at Phillips University in Enid, Oklahoma, and had a double major in both French horn and piano. And then I received a assistantship to get my master's at SIUC in Carbondale in 1957. That's where I got my master's degree, and then I started teaching here in the Alton area. Actually, taught at Bunker Hill, Illinois Band and Choir for 3 years, and then in 1961 moved to Alton, Illinois. And I will say too that I met my wife when I was working on my master's at Carbondale, and we married in 1959. Then after teaching 3 years in Bunker Hill, both my wife Jean and I started teaching in the Alton schools, and we pretty much stayed in the Alton schools until we retired. I retired in 1989, and she retired, I believe, in 2001.
Okay, great. So why did you initially move to Southern Illinois?
Actually, I just preferred the climate and everything else about the arts in the Illinois are much more prevalent than they were in rural Oklahoma. So there was no question about where I wanted to live and work, because I love living in the Alton, where we have so many opportunities for artistic expression. And through the years in Alton, I've been involved in the Alton Symphony, the Alton Muni Band, the Greater Alton Concert Association, and many other music organizations, but one of the things that I think you're quite interested in is the Youth Symphony, which is in the 60s, there was a music program, band and orchestra program at all of the four junior highs at that time, but there were not enough string students in each the schools to have an orchestra. For instance, the smallest Central Junior High, they might have had three violins and two violas, but it's not enough to make up an orchestra. So the high school orchestra director at that time, who was Larry Krabs, he and I decided, wouldn't this be great if we could form an organization and let these excellent students, the ones that want extra training, to meet together once a week to play a little bit more complicated music. And of course, obviously this would benefit his high school program greatly. And so in 1969, we started with a board of directors of local music teachers and community leaders that were very encouraging to us, because they thought it was a great project. And I almost have to laugh about it, because the first year we had a budget of $500, and I thought that was to pay the conductor and maybe a little bit to the manager. I thought, oh my goodness, are we going to be able to do this? And then when I have to kind of laugh about it, because our present budget is close to $30,000 per year, so you can see that we have grown through the years. We started out having just the Alton Youth Symphony, but then we found out, you know, we really need it. We have a feeder group going into that, so we formed the Alton Junior Symphony that feeds into the Alton Symphony now. So they are both, of equal importance. And in addition to what, as through the years, we thought, well, you know, we can't march in a parade very well with our violins and violas, but how do we get that word out to who we are and what we do. So we formed a small chamber group that goes out into the community and plays at nursing homes and senior citizen centers and Kiwanis Club and Rotary Club and organizations like that, so they know what we're trying to do with the children in the community. We do have a lot of support from the community. Parents are, of course, always very responsive when they see their child getting a good opportunity. And what we have found out through the years, that we didn't realize it so much at the time, but we are such a valuable tool for music students that go to parochial schools. In fact, we have quite a few students that are in the organization from parochial schools, and also homeschool students. This is another one wonderful opportunity for them. And it's just worked out great for them. And we continue to kind of move along with the support of the community. And one thing that we do, we have enough support through grants and financial support from our patrons that we do not have to charge the students anything for being in the organization. Another thing that has proved very profitable for the students that we found out, well, okay, this student has the ability to be in the organization, but he needs extra help. So we have hired sectional leaders that, for instance, the fall session that we have going on right now, we have, I think, maybe a dozen rehearsals, and out of those dozen rehearsals, we will have sectional coaches that come in that are specialists with their instrument. Whenever we have woodwind sectionals, we have a flute specialist, a clarinet specialist, and whatever else we have at the time. And it's brass specialists, we have a trumpet specialist and a trombone specialist, or whatever we need. And with the strings, of course, we always have a violin, viola, cello, and a bass specialist to come in to work with the students, to give them some very close supervision and very good training.
Yeah, so just to define the term, you would say sectional here is just the individual instrument?
Yes, when I say sectional, we're going to take, like, for instance, last night they had the woodwind sectional, so the six flutes went out with this specialist and worked in another classroom, and then the clarinets worked in another classroom, and that's the way it worked out for them. So you can see we've kind of grown from our $500 beginning that was, we thought, gee, oh, gee, can we do this? And what it's turned into. And we have the president of our organization is Joe Cacciatoli. He's been the president for a number of years. His wife is on the board, and she is fantastic in writing grants. She is a very good money person, put it that way. That is her career, though. She works in finance with the whatever organization she's working with. So she is wonderful in helping us getting grants from Boeing and Illinois Arts Council and so forth. And another thing that we do, in addition to the sectionals, we have a soloist every year, and they audition in the fall, and then they're able to perform. It's usually a movement of a concerto for this spring concert. And then, in addition to offering, we also offer grants for private study if we have the finances to do it. And in addition to that, we send usually one or two students up to the University of Illinois every summer to study at the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camp. So they get additional training there. So the kids and the parents that want their child to have extra training, we have a lot of opportunities for musical development and growth.
So. Yeah, you would say then that, just going back to the very beginning of the organization, that it was kind of a supplemental thing to the Alton School District?
I would say it was. It started out that way, but for instance, right now we have a student I know from Staunton, one from Jerseyville, and we also have what seems strange, but a lot of students coming in from the Ferguson-Florissant area. because some of our sectional leaders teach there, and so it's kind of a conduit for bringing those students into the U-Symphony. Originally, in the initial stages, it really was a kind of a supplement thing, but it's grown to be much more than that, because we weren't thinking that big in the beginning, you know. But we had some wonderful community members that had worked on huge drives for building the, redoing the YWCA. This one lady was fantastic in helping us get a good footing, because at the time I was probably all of what, 30 years old, and pretty inexperienced compared to some of these people that had been in organizations over in their 50s and 60s and that were so astute in getting finances from the community, because they knew how to do these drives, which I really didn't at the time, because all of my training had been in teaching music, you know, which I loved, you know.
Okay. So you talked about, like, the Alton Muni Band and different organizations in the city. What led you to create the Youth Symphony specifically, rather than just, you know, encouraging students to join those other community bands instead?
Well, the age group that we're working with is basically what used to be junior high. Now we'll call it middle school. So those kids do not have the skill yet to be in Muni Band or the Alton Symphony, although we do a joint program with the Alton Youth Symphony and the Alton Symphony, and very often those kids then move up to the Alton Symphony because it only goes through eighth grade. So when they get to ninth grade, they go to Alton High, they'd have an orchestra. But if they don't, then the other avenue to continue their music career would be to go to the Alton Symphony.
Yeah, so you have a good relationship with Alton Symphony.
Oh, yeah, very good relationship. And that is so fortunate because both of us profit from it, you know. And then also whenever we have a joint program in the spring where we do a side-by-side, where one of the students that are, so to speak, graduating from the Alton Youth Symphony, they sit by the first chair violinist, and then sits by the first chair violist, you know, so they can see what it really feels like to play big time, you know. And I think they're kind of shocked probably when they first see some of the Alton Symphony music, because it's so much more complicated than what the Youth Symphony music is.
So we talked a bit about the beginning of the Alton Youth Symphony, but once it got going a little bit and you guys were working more with, like, fundraising and getting more into the groove of things, how would you, tell me more about that.
Well, it has kind of just developed naturally over the years. As I said, we hadn't even thought at all about homeschooled students, you know, and then all of a sudden realized, wow, what an opportunity for these students, you know. Of course, they have an organization, so once you touch base with the organization, then they immediately funnel their children in. And what we found out, too, that the children that are homeschooled are usually wonderful musicians, because they have the parents see that they have plenty of time to practice. So they're wonderful musicians in most cases, you know. So that was a really eye-opening thing for us that we hadn't even thought about, you know. But I think also there's more homeschooling being done now than there was back in 1970, when we formed this. And you might wonder how we got this started. Larry and I talked about this, but we thought, well, you know, we need to have a good plan as to how to do this, you know. So very fortunately, Dr. Marvin Rabin from the University of Wisconsin did his dissertation on forming a youth symphony. So I got his doctoral dissertation, and then we copied and copied and copied from that. You know, there are just certain things, you know, you want to make sure that you have good relations with your local music teachers. You don't want to think you're doing an upsmanship on them. So that's priority number one. Then you want to try to do something that is positive for the community as well as the music program too. And again, as I said, we have students from Jerseyville and Staunton, and sometimes some Granite City. I mean, they come from a large area because parents get online anymore and they see, oh, that's an organization that that will help our Johnny or our Susie, you know, to become better musicians. So we try to do just whatever we can to develop the skills of these students, you know, so when they get to high school, they'll have all the more skills to promote their program or to promote the high school program. But it would really be good for any band or orchestra, because most of the students that come from Jerseyville and Staunton, they don't have an orchestra, of course, but it will help their musicianship in their band. So they profit from it anyway, whether, even though they don't have an orchestra there.
Yeah, so you have all these students from outside the community. Was it always like that way back in the 70s when it first started?
No, it was not. No. I think it was basically pretty much just Alton, but then you can see how it's expanded not only in the outerlying communities, but also into, like, say, Ferguson, Florissant, you know. But also, too, I'm trying to think. I told you that we offer these study grants to the students, you know, so they can get private study, especially if we see that there's a financial need from this student. This Johnny Jones could be a really good trumpet player, but his parents just don't have the financial means to give him those private lessons. So all of these things were not inaugurated initially. Initially, there was just the organization that met once a week, you know, and we gathered them all together. But to let the other communities know, for a number of years, we would take a spring tour every year, and we would go to East Alton, Wood River, Jerseyville, Bunker Hill, Southwestern, all the surrounding school districts, so they could see what is available for their children, and that has really helped our program too, so they can get out in the community and see what's out there for their child. But we just continue to try to kind of innovate, you know, as years go by, things change too. For instance, it used to be the junior high, but then when the Alton High changed to a four-year high school, then that shoved us back a year. So the literature that we do now is not as difficult as it was in the early 70s, you know, when we had that extra year, and one extra year in development of a musician at that age is really great, because they can make great progress in 1 year.
So were you the first, in some cases, or even all cases, was the Alton Youth Symphony maybe the first time some of these students were joining an orchestra or learning an instrument, or was it more people that already had some?
No, most of these kids had, they had a string program at each of the schools, but most of them had not been in an orchestra. They didn't know what an orchestra was all about. And the nice thing about it was that, for instance, these strings, they thought, oh, gee, I get to play with my flute friend or my trumpet friend. They got to play in a full symphony orchestra, you know. And that's one thing that's, for instance, in the Alton schools right now, these strings do not have that experience of playing with winds together in an orchestra. So this also gives them a chance to play in a full symphonic setting where they can get used to hearing percussion and tubas and trumpets and whatever else, you know. So it's just another experience for them that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Okay. So you touched a little bit on fundraising and the grant writing and everything with that. Could you tell me a little bit more about how that developed back when you were starting and when it was getting going?
Well, I think in the very beginning and up to this date, we send out a solicitation letter for support in the fall, of which we have this year we had a mailing list of 500 former students, parents, businesses that responded, and We have kept that pattern all the way through the years, and we've been able to survive through that. But also, we got a wonderful, we were the recipient of a wonderful trust that was set up for us about 10 or 15 years ago. A rather wealthy person in the area was dying, and his cousin saw what was happening, and he said, well, you know, if I give my estate to the St. Louis Symphony, it won't mean very much, but to a small organization. So fortunately, this lady came into the Halpin Music Company, Barb Kramer, who worked there. Her daughter had been in the Youth Symphony. She suggested, well, what about making a contribution to the Youth Symphony whenever that time comes? It turns out at the time, this guy's mother was still living, so he had a trust set up so it was not to go into effect until his mother was deceased. And once his mother deceased, then the trust opens up. And however, he was a very wise guy. We could only use $2 for every $1 that we raised, and it could only be taken from the interest of the trust. So he was a very savvy person, but it'll be going on long after I'm dead and gone, though. That's the wonderful part about it, too. It's one of those cases where a guy could see what he could do for the community and for the music organization. And he was a music lover, too. I went to his house one time, and he had all of these opera recordings and all. So he was a very serious music lover, you know. So it was wonderful. Him and his cousin comes to all of our concerts now. And she can relish into thinking, oh, what my uncle did for this organization, you know. So it has to be very rewarding to her. And of course, it would have. And he actually lived for a few years after he set it up, and he would go on tours with us, so he got to know the organization, too. So that was wonderful for him and wonderful for us, you know. So that's been a real boost to our organization, too, financially. But we still have to do our work, though. He's not going to just dole out the kitty, you know, and say, here's my funds. No, you work, you show us that you're providing your support, and then I will supplement whatever you do with your organization.
So you guys, I mean, obviously give back a lot to the community, the Alton community.
Oh, we do. Give back a great deal to the Alton community.
Yeah, even just with the students and what they get involved with, but also putting all these concerts and bringing music more into people's homes and stuff.
Right. I mean, for instance, whenever we go to Southwestern, these kids don't know what an orchestra is because they've never experienced one, you know. Then they see kids playing their age, playing right in front of them. You know, I remember one time, then we went to Madison, Illinois. And I thought, you know, I don't know, when I saw the students coming in, I thought, gee, this may not be a good idea. But at the time we had, hard to believe, but we had two harpists with us that day doing the famous thing from, I was at Swan Lake, where you have the flutes accompanied, a flute solo accompanied by harps. And these kids were just mesmerized. You know, first they'd never seen a harp before, you know, and then they have two of them right in front of them, you know. And I thought, well, wasn't this a good experience for those kids, you know? So you never know when you're going to touch on something that will really touch their hearts and do something good for them. And because we do these things, we also get support from the Illinois Arts Council, too. See, so because we have to prove to them, though, every year what we're doing, you know, to supplement the arts into the community.
Okay, I see. Nice. So, Alton, of course, has changed since you moved here. And I would say, I mean, you worked as the music director for the school,
right? You know what? As it turned out, I was a band and orchestra director for, I think 5 or 6 years. And then the position of director of music came into being, and I was named in that position. But that's when we had 25 music teachers at the time, and we had a population of 12,000 students, you know. four junior highs, you know, and multiple elementary schools all over the place. So, of course, I would coordinate festivals and things like that. So, but then that those jobs were eliminated in 1975 in a cutback, so I went back into the teaching position and just taught band and orchestra from there on until I retired.
Okay. Could you tell me more about how the school district changed and what you saw in that?
Well, the biggest change that I've seen is the decline in enrollment over a period of years. But with that decline of enrollment, of course, it changes everything. You lose students and you lose staff, you know, so staff is always condensed as we lost students, although we have kept a very strong music program in Alton. As far as the public schools go, I think there's at least 1,000 students studying band and orchestra instruments, you know, so we've kept a strong music program going, but still not in quite the numbers that it used to be when we had 12,000 students. There's no way you can kind of replicate that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, so you have all those school orchestras, and then you have the youth orchestra. So kids were doing both, you said.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's another important thing that we made sure. That's what I learned from this doctoral dissertation, that a student must be in their school organization before they can become a member of the youth symphony. And just to prevent someone saying, Miss Goody Two Shoes, I'm going to be in the youth symphony, but I'm going to get out of my... No, that doesn't work. We've had some scenes where we had to say, sorry, Susie, you got to be in your local band and orchestra before you get in the youth symphony, you know. That's rare, but it has happened through the years a couple times. Because we want those teachers to support us, you know. After all, they're giving us their good students, you know. We don't want to take the cream out of their crop.
Yeah. Could you tell me more about that dissertation? That's so interesting.
About what?
That dissertation that you use.
Well, I can't remember everything that I learned from it, you know, but it told us to, of course, we started out, and I'm sure because of this dissertation, started out with a board of 12 people that included community members that were various student fundraising, music lovers in the community, and music teachers. So it was kind of a split of entrepreneurs that knew how to promote things, others that were good in getting finances, and then the music teachers that supported us. And we had great support from the music teachers at that time, too, because they could see what it would do for their program, too, you know. Just another, and it was also great for the Alton community, too, you know, to have another organization that we're proud of to show off the community. So, the dissertation, golly, it was, I don't know, how many hundreds of pages thick, you know, and we just took the main ideas from it, you know, in that we wanted to make sure that we have the support of the music teachers, number one, you know, and to try to reach out into the community to get their support. And, of course, PR was very important at that time, getting the public relations going at that time. We had one of our board members was Mr. Leroy Fritz, who was responsible really for starting the music program in the Alton schools back in the early, maybe late 40s. And he later on became director of public relations for the Alton schools, so he was very good at knowing how to get public how to get the word out about good organizations. His parents always love to see kids doing good things too, so it's easy to do that. We have a concert in the fall, we have a concert in the spring, and then another thing that I told you earlier that we take the organization out and go to 3 different schools in one day, which is a challenge to go to 3 schools in one day and have the kids back to their home school so they can catch the bus. And I mean, invariably there's a violin that's fallen off of the stand or something. So there's always a little bit of a small crisis to take care of this. So we've done something differently. Instead of spending that money going out, what we do is supplement school districts to pay for their bus to bring their kids here. So we give a concert for them at Hathaway Hall. So remember last year, I think it was East Alton, Wood River came, Jerseyville came. I can't remember how many different schools, but also from St. Louis. A couple of schools came from St. Louis. So we don't pay a lot, but it's amazing how just paying for a little bit of their bus money helps them to accept the invitation, you know, put it that way. And it also shows those kids what we can do and what they can become a part of, you know.
Yeah, so you mentioned the PR thing. How is that, especially in developing the orchestra when it was first starting out, what was that landscape like?
You know, because we started out with such a small budget, at first I think everyone just thought this was strictly an Alton School thing, but you know, that's where we did rehearse. We rehearsed it at Alton High because that's where the director was, that's where he felt comfortable with, and then later on we moved out to, well, we rehearsed at several different places. We used to rehearse at North Middle School, and now we rehearse in a wonderful facility at Lewis and Clark College. You know, so that is just fabulous, and we're so fortunate that Lewis and Clark allows us to rehearse there in a large rehearsal room where they normally, Monday they have jazz band there. Well, Tuesday, that's our evening to use the facility. So we're just very fortunate to have that connection with Lewis and Clark. And sometimes we have a Lewis and Clark faculty member on our board, too, because we want to keep that connection. In fact, for a number of years, the president of the college, his wife was on the board. So we've had a lot of wonderful connections with Lewis and Clark that are very important to us. Actually, the manager of Hathaway Hall used to be in the Youth Symphony, too. So, you know, we've got a lot of good connections with Lewis and Clark College.
Yeah, those good connections with the alumni and all the businesses.
Oh, yes, with the alumni. You know, and with our, as we talked about earlier, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary next year, and just hard to believe how the program has developed through the years, you know, through a lot of good ideas of different people. And we hope to have a lot of alumni come back, maybe play with us, and the original director is going to be directing one number, and I'm going to be directing one number in the program. And the very special part of that is one of our graduates that was in the Youth Symphony, Michael Gagliardo, who's now the director of the Gadsden, Alabama Youth Symphony, has been hired to write a composition for the 50th anniversary of the Youth Symphony. So he will come and direct the Youth Symphony that he was in when he was a young kid, you know. He's a really good trumpet player, and so this is exciting for him and his parents and for all of us, you know, to have him come back. But I think many of our graduates have gone on to, one of our really good flutists is now the principal flutist of a North Carolina symphony, and I could go on and on about where, and my daughter played harp in it, and she's now a professional harpist, you know, so it's lent to the career of many different people. That are now, and when you think that was 50 years ago, you know, so they're out, and some of them are probably getting ready to retire now. They were one of the first ones.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So we were talking about the community. Was the Alton Youth Symphony obviously gives back to the community and that the students are learning new things and bringing it back that way. But in regards to the fundraising, was that ever like interacted with there? Like go out into the community to fundraise? Is that something that you ever had to do?
No, you know, we have not found it necessary to do that. I think whenever you're in a school music program, the funds are always so limited that every kid that's in the, at least in the Alton School, they're always selling candy bars or cheese and sausage or something, you know. So we said, you know, we need to try to avoid that if we can, you know, because we don't want to replicate with what they're trying to do for their own program. So we, simply through this solicitation letter and grant writing. We've been able to manage it financially. Of course, this trust helps us too, you know. So, in fact, this trust, we have to use so much of the money, and because we're a non-for-profit organization, we're free to take some of that money. If it's a 2-to-1, if we raise 2, we can take $1 from the, or vice, no, it's really vice versa. If we raise $1, we can take $2 from the interest that this account has accrued through the years. Of course, and right now, the economy is so good that the investments have been wonderful the last couple of years. You know, for a while it was low, it wasn't easy, but now the investments are so good that it's wonderful for us.
Yeah. So related to that, could you tell me more about how Alton changed as a whole since you've been here since 1961, you said?
Well, Alton has changed a great deal in the... there's a much larger black population, much less white population, but just in general, a great reduction in people, period, whether they're white or black, you know. So that has been a major change, because I think when we first came here, they had advertised Alton as 40,000. Now I think it's down to 32 or something, too, you know. But the arts are still very important to the Alton community, though. When you consider we have the Alton Symphony and the Concert Association and Muni Band, and the Jacoby Arts Center is trying to do everything that they can to promote the arts, too. And so there are a lot of good things happening down there to further the arts in the Alton. We kind of like the Wildy Theater in Edwardsville, although probably not as active as the Wildy Theater is. But the Alton community really supports that organization, too.
Yeah, just besides arts, too, you talked about the population declining. Do you have any more insights about that or anything you remember about that time?
No, I don't have any more insight on that. Just to tell you simply that the population has dwindled little by little every year, you know, just gotten smaller. People want to live in rural areas, you know. I'm a piano technician by trade since I retired, and I go out in many rural areas, and I think, oh, there couldn't possibly be a house here. And then I turn to this winding road and find this glorious estate. You know, so many people want to escape into the hinterlands, you know, which I'm finding. I'm kind of shocked by how many people I find that want to escape, I have to say civilization, but they want to do their own thing in their own private space.
So does that population decline, did that affect the symphony at all, the youth symphony, or even any of the bands in Alton?
Oh, I think it has made it more difficult for everyone, you know, because sometimes you lose a family that may not have anyone in music, then the next time you may lose a family that they had a really good flutist and a clarinetist. Oh, I hate to see them move, you know, so it's both ways. You know, sometimes it doesn't affect, in other cases it does, you know. But sometimes parents want to seek a very strong academic situation for their child, so they may want to send their... I know we had a really good little boy that was a really good percussionist in the Alton Youth Symphony, but now he's going to CBC High School in St. Louis because his parents want that specialized training. You know, so we lose some kids to the parents who... Because most of the parents that have kids in the youth symphony, they are pushers. They don't want, they're not settled with a B grade from their child. You're going to be an A student, you know. I mean, not in every case, but in most cases, these parents want them. First place, they're driving them to this extra rehearsal every week. So, hey, Johnny, if I'm taking you there, I'm expecting you to produce, you know. So that has been a factor. But we lose some kids that way, but... Maybe not a great number of kids, but we do lose some excellent students that these parents want them to have an excellent academic opportunity.
So have you noticed changes in students' patterns or the way students are learning and interacting? I mean, you've been a teacher for a long time.
No, I don't see that happening. Now, my wife does a program called ROAR, which means volunteers in the community go out into the schools, and they actually go to the schools between 7:30 and 8 when the kids are waiting to get into their classroom, and then they have the third graders read to them. So it's really just to promote reading, you know. I forget the acronyms, R-O-A-R, but reading, or I don't know what it is, but anyway, it's just to promote reading, and that's gotten a really strong hold. But obviously what that means is that the kids need help at home, or they wouldn't be doing this. See, that means the reading skills are not where they should be. So it's just another tool to help those classroom teachers to promote reading and the importance of reading. And, but again, if it were in a school where every kid could read by the time it got to school, they wouldn't have it. But so you can see it's a necessary supplement to the educational environment.
Have you seen that kind of thing with music students too?
Not so much. You know, no, really not so much, you know, because I don't see that. I see parents still having a strong interest in keeping their kids in music. You know, it's amazing how many kids we have in the music program. You know, it's a huge number, you know. Especially when you consider the socioeconomics of our community. You know, see, that has changed a great deal since we moved here in the 60s, you know, because we had all these industries here. My goodness, you know, we had Olin and Laclede Steel, and I can't think of all of these. And again, those were the board members to our organization in the beginning. See, we were able to ask some of them to help us and support us. And of course, you get the leaders in a terrific organization like they have to have. If they can run a corporation, then you know that they can help you a great deal in learning how to fundraise too. So, but that's been a big change too. You lose all of those high-powered executives, you know, and their families too. You know, that's been a big change in our community.
So you came here in the 60s, and you came from SIUC. So do you have any perspective on how SIUE altered this? I mean, are your students moving on through college? I mean, you seem to keep in touch with them. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Many of them go on. Many of them, in fact, I'm sure there may be your friends of yours that go on to SIUE to major in music, you know. Yeah, it's a good stepping stool for them. There is a symphony in Youth Symphony, I believe, in Carbondale, or there was at one time. But that's the other thing, and we're the, I think, one of the few Youth Symphonies around. You know, so if a kid wants to participate in a Youth Symphony, then this is one of their choices too. You know, now, Belleville, there used to be there. I think there is still a Belleville Youth Symphony though too, but I don't know much about it though. But it hasn't. I don't think it has quite the history that we've had, though. I think it's gone through some ups and downs, you know, but I don't know that for sure either, so. But we've been able to stay consistent year after year to try to grow and grow, and but the key catalyst for us was receiving that trust, the funds from that trust. You know, otherwise, we'd be selling cookies, too, you know, like the public school students have to do, you know. But fortunately, we don't have to do that. So, and the parents appreciate that because they know they're already. But then also, you know, in our programs, we always list, you know, the contributors, you know, so to let them know that we appreciate what they're doing for us financially.
So I read that you have a lot of, alumni that are working still with the Youth Symphony. Could you tell me more about that, how your students are going on and then maybe coming back, or people going out of state?
Yes, well, you know what we have done? We've tried to keep track of some of our graduates, and especially some of them that live locally and have got their maybe their bachelor degree from SIUE, and they are teaching in the area. Then we use those students to come back and be sectional leaders. Like one of them teaches cello, and so she comes back and teaches the cello section, you know. So yes, it comes back. What we've given out comes right back to us in many cases. That's just one example of the. And in another case, we had a used to be principal flutist of the Alton Symphony. She now is one of our sectional leaders. And to think of, I'm sure these little kids are amazed by when they hear her play, because I think their eyes are bugging out when they hear, you know, what she can do with the flute too. You know, just one example. And we have. We have others. Actually, the manager of Hathaway Hall is our string bass coach too. You know, so a lot of them come back to us in many different ways. Sometimes I wouldn't even remember that they were in U Symphony. You know, probably because I was. I try to keep in close touch. There's a few of us that have been board members from almost the beginning. You know, so and I'm one of those few that has been there from the beginning. But since this other guy and I formed, I feel like this is what I can do for our community. You know, I was always, whenever I was director of music, I was sometimes kind of disturbed because I always felt like that as music teachers, we're leaders of the community. You know, you got to find something to support, whether it's the symphony or the choral society or the muni band or whatever. Find something, make our community a better musical community, you know, for whoever.
So we talked back a while ago in the beginning about how you would have students doing solos or concertos. Could you just maybe walk me through how a season would go normally, naturally, like rehearsals and then concerts and whatnot?
Sure. Well, we have auditions in August, and then we start rehearsals usually like the middle of September, and we have, I think, 12 rehearsals or so and give a concert at the end of November. We take a break through the Christmas season and then start again in January and rehearse January through the end of April, give a concert at the end of April with that soloist. But also inserted in there is the side-by-side concert with the Alton Symphony, and then also at the close to the end of the season is that concert at Hathaway where we bring in the outside schools. At least that's what we've done for the last couple of years, and it seems to work out really well. We don't have to worry about dropped violins like when we get on and off buses three times. And how are we going to get those string basses and cellos on the bus? So it was a challenge, but a good one. A bit profitable for the, you know, but this seems to be physically a lot easier for us this way too, you know. Easier to transport a busload of kids rather than a busload of instruments, you know. And instruments are fragile, you know. You get to violins and violas and cellos, and goodness, they're very fragile, so you have to handle them with care. So it's been easier for us just to give the concert at Hathaway Hall.
So previously, that part in the season was you traveling outside,
yes, we
right?
traveled every spring, right. And of course, that is a big challenge too, because working around spring testing, because there is so much testing in schools, and if we get it all set up with the Missouri schools, then it doesn't fit with the Illinois schools. So it was a real challenge to do that, and it will continually be, you know, because they have to be there for that testing. You know, it's the principals will not excuse, and we understand they will not excuse students for missing testing, because it represents their school, and their school's got to look good, you know, so just part of the game these days.
So tell me about the music that you guys were playing. I mean, you said previously you were playing more complicated things back in the beginning when it was
yeah,
starting.
Yeah, in the beginning we were doing a little bit, yes, because the winds had more control of their instruments, especially, you know, you like, for instance, first trumpet player may have to play really high, you know, some of the music we're doing now. I tell you, we did, for instance, this, we try to do a variety of music, and we always do like an overture of some type, you know, and then do a pop piece of some type, like music from a prominent musical like that is popular at the present time. Then we try to do something that's challenging for the strings, if we can, you know, a Vivaldi piece of some kind that really shows them off. Or the young director is that we have now, Eddie Kanoki, is very good at selecting things that fit the orchestra. And so that works out well because she really knows, she also teaches high school in St. Louis, so she's very familiar with all levels of teaching. And she's very good at picking music that fits the orchestra. But it's always a variety of music, too. And then, of course, then the Junior Symphony feeds into that. They do much more traditional things, too, but it's just to help them get used to being in an organization more than anything else. But we also have sectionals for the Junior Symphony, too, see? So we start the training early. Goodness. And I think back, you know, how it's changed from the beginning, you know. We didn't even have a Junior Symphony in the beginning, you know, but then it just evolves. You know how we find out, if we can make this organization better if we do this. Oh, yes, you know, so. And we've had some wonderful board members through the years, too, that have been very wise in helping guide us. I remember in my early young years as an organizer, I thought that we should pay for to send a student up to the University of Illinois. I thought it was so right to pay for the total package, you know, so that the kid would be free to, or the parents would be free not having to pay. And another lady I found later on was much wiser than I was. No, let's do it this way. Let's give two scholarships and make it a half scholarship so that the parents have involvement. And she was so right and I was so wrong. But that was in my early young days before I had the experience with an organization, you know, where she had all this experience with the YWCA and all these other organizations. So we all learned through this board. You know, we had some really wise board members that guided us along.
Yeah, so the board was obviously very important.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It still is, you know, but mm-hmm. in those early formative years, so, you know, to get us going in the right direction, you know, because we wanted to steer the ship in the right way. And we have. It's worked out really well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, your 50th year anniversary
right.
this year, right?
50 years, yeah. You know, who would have thought that, you know, when we started that I would even be around for the 50th anniversary, you know. It's fabulous, you know, that I can see this happen, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just it's probably a testament to how much the Youth Symphony has affected the community. Have you seen that in your time working with them, for sure?
Yeah, you know, it's really given back so much to the community, too. You know, and I don't know that we'll ever really know how much it's, you know, how much it's meant, you know, but I know how proud the parents are. Well, my kid was in the Youth Symphony, you know. Very proud that they could be in that, you know. And they could, but more than that, they can see where it takes them, too. They can see, for instance, we got one little guy that he's way beyond what the school program can offer him, you know. So this is a perfect vehicle for him because his parents want more out of him. You know, you can do more than, you know. And that's the type of student. It's a wonderful vehicle for that, you know, for those parents that want their child to have extra experiences.
Yeah, okay. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about with the Alton, as a community, or with the AYS in general?
You know, I can't think of anything else. I think we pretty much covered everything about the Youth Symphony that I can, all the information that I can give you. It's been a pleasure for me to just kind of follow through all these years, you know, to see what has happened. We've had probably, through the years, I would guess maybe five different directors, you know, but or maybe five or six different directors, but we keep it moving, you know, and five or six different managers too, you know, but when we started out, we didn't have a manager, you know, but then we decided, no, we need someone to help that director too. There's more to it than just waving your hands, you know, to rehearse. So now when the director walks in, the chairs are all set up and everything is all ready to go. So that manager is as important as a director, we have found. In collecting all the music, getting it ready to go, contacting parents, you know, emails, you know, so all of that paperwork. And especially with the emails and computers, you know, that has been probably the biggest change. Because we can communicate with parents now so easily where we couldn't 50 years ago, you know. Everything was by snail mail then, you know, or telephone, you know. So it's been a big change and a good one. A good one, right. Yeah.
All right, well, that's all the questions I had for you. But if there's nothing else you want to talk about, then thank you so much for talking with me, Mr. Conradi.
You're very welcome. Glad to do it for the Youth Symphony.
Wonderful. Well, congrats on 50 years. Looking forward to see, you know, where it goes next. So
right.
Exciting.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.